What type of information would you enjoy learning or listening to in a shorter amount? Because you mentioned that too. Uh-huh. Show's too long, don't have time. So.
Well, for example, as I'm sure most people know, crop eating is a big, big, and still is, topic.
Okay.
For the, election this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big thing was everyone was like, It's about discrimination. They need the same rights as we have. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And I went, you know what? Somebody said that a civil union has the same rights. So I, rather than saying, yes, it's exactly, I went out and I looked it up. And whoa, lo and behold, it is.
Okay.
It's just not recognized nationally. So, whereas marriage is, obviously.
Okay.
So I think that's the one sticking point that they're gonna focus on. But the point is, at least now I can speak intelligently and say, really, Sparky, you don't agree with me? Go here to Wikipedia. Look it up. So, that's kind of what I'm...
So it sounds like you would listen to a podcast that kind of sheds perhaps a little deeper light onto news topics.
Right.
Okay. So it sounds like you wouldn't enjoy people kind of regurgitating news over and over that you probably already have read
right.
on Yahoo, let's say,
right?
But that would kind of take a deeper look at it. Now I'm going to edge farther onto the thin ice.
Okay.
Would you enjoy a slant to that explanation?
Enjoy a slant is if in fact it was given, I think, well, let me see this. So for people who voted yes on property,
right,
clearly they are against gay marriage.
Right.
Clearly.
Yeah.
No question about it. And if they're going to slant it, that's fine, but I will draw the line on slanting it to a point where you explain the position behind why there's no real need to change the definition there versus gay bashing.
Okay.
If it's going to be a gay bashing, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I don't need to hear that. That's not appropriate, and that's not it's not a good position.
Now.
But if you're saying, look, here's the reasons why, leave religion out of it, although that could play some part of it, but don't make it all about that. Make several points and make several arguments. And then offer the opportunity for somebody who disagrees to present their case.
Right.
Make it a debate, but make it a friendly, polite, kind, and caring debate. Because this, you hate us, so we hate you, and
right.
We hate you because you hate us.
Yeah.
That's just stupid.
Right.
Nobody wins those arguments.
Mm-hmm.
But give me some thoughts that you want.
Okay.
Give me both sides of the story, but give me both sides in a, because here's the reality. When one side presents it nice and says, here's why we believe what we believe, and the other side says, you're just a hateful, awful people.
Right.
I'm done. And now, what that does, makes me agree with the other side.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It defeats the purpose. So, and it's just not, it's not just that, it's a bunch of things. I just pulled that issue because it's so timely.
Nope. So, now we have people in the streets, marching. So let's kind of specifically address what you just said, and then we'll kind of move on to a wider topic that I think will get quite interesting really fast.
Sure.
So you would enjoy a discussion of, let's say, hot topics or important topics of the news in depth that kind of goes a little deeper, explains perhaps both sides, or maybe all sides. Maybe there's more than just that. Okay. And, you know, since we're talking about, you know, and I'm not even sure if this is true, but I've seen a couple of things where Fox News is more conservative.
Sure.
CNN is more liberal.
Sure.
MSNBC is perhaps more liberal. And so you can kind of see where these news organizations kind of fall. Where, like, a CBN is more conservative and actually has a more religious tone. So, I don't know if any news organization, my opinion, could really handle this type of discussion that we're actually saying, I think, would be better.
Well, yeah. And again, it comes back to what I've always said, and it's not my saying, but I think it's so appropriate, and you could pretty much insert any body part. Opinions are like noses, everybody's got one.
Right.
You know, and it's true. It's absolutely true. Again, my opinion in some things differs greatly from yours. But the beautiful thing is that you and I have come to an agreement long time ago that it's okay for us to disagree on something. We just don't bash and attack each other's
right.
opinion.
Right.
Because we realize that we're entitled.
Well, I think the incredible thing, one of the many things I love about you is you have lived your life and you have a brain. Now, I not only love that, but I respect that. And so, if I do respect that, then there has to be times where I hear what you think, I hear perhaps why, and I got to put it neutral and say, man, that's the one thing I love about you, is you're not a robot. You don't believe everything that I do. My first marriage, that's what I thought love was. It's total agreement. We did everything together. And that's what a good marriage is. And I have found that it's actually, in some ways, the complete opposite. Is that when you don't agree, that really makes the love that you have together stronger, and that you have the opportunity to, through your mate's eye, see something that you never would have saw before, especially somebody that agrees with you. So I find that it invigorates me, and it makes me love you more when you don't agree with me on everything. And that sounds weird, but that's true. It's true for me.
Well, the nice thing is, because you already know what you believe.
Right.
If that's the only opinion you ever have, if that's the only information you ever have, then you kind of, I don't know, it's kind of interesting to have options to think about. But I know that scares the crap out of some people, too. But then, I mean, doesn't that tear your family apart? No?
Nope.
That actually strengthens it. It's okay. But again, you have to be willing and open to say it's okay to disagree.
So let's kind of tiptoe through this minefield. We'll see how far we get. We may have people that run out of the house and throw us in a squad car. But, okay, so let's talk about the election, and we'll start with Prop 8, since that has the most flashpoints involved. The one thing that really upset me the most was that, again, this is a feeling that I got. It may be true, may not be true, but the feeling that I got was that if you are Christian, you must vote this way.
Uh-huh.
And that infuriated me, because it was almost like a regime that made you must vote this way. When you come to Christ, when you come to God, it's a decision that you make to do that.
And
no one forces you. Anyway.
No, and here's a good point. Here's a good point to to confirm what you're talking about. So when you came to Christ, how did it happen for you? Real quick in a nutshell.
I was at a little evening with kids. My great grandfather Granny brought me, and they told a story about a chicken and a mother hen and all this kind of stuff. And you know,
how old were you?
Let's see, I think I was 9, 10.
Okay,
9 or 10. Yeah,
right,
and
right.
And it made sense to me. And
okay.
And so when they ask, you know, I remember telling Grandy, say, hold on, I'm gonna go down front. And it was not, from what I remember, it was not a pleading, re-asking over and over pressure. It was just something in my heart that I just went, ding, this is right, this is important. So,
okay. For me, I was 4.
Yeah.
And I really don't know whether I actually truly knew what I was doing. I must have at some point, because I knew that I had to do it. But I may not have understood why, I don't remember, but I do remember I was about 4, maybe 5 at most. And I remember the senior pastor, he was praying with me, and I remember that the whole thing, as clear as day. And you know, it's been a long time ago. To give you another example, it was just a regular Sunday evening service too, if I remember right. To give you another example, my brother-in-law didn't go to church. I think he might have when he was little, but I know for him it was at Harvest Crusade, you know, 17, 18 years ago, and he was a teenager. I know a lot of people come to Christ. I mean, one of my coworkers was in her late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's different. So if in fact everybody's conversion experience is different, why then do we have to become robots? That's
right.
What I was trying to make.
Yeah.
If in fact it's a decision, and how we vote and things is supposed to be a decision, why does everyone have to do the same? Now I'll appreciate this about I still get the newsletters, the email newsletters daily and weekly from my brother-in-law's church.
Right.
And the pastor, senior pastor, pretty much gave some compelling arguments why you should vote one way, but then he tempered that the whole entire way through, saying, regardless, you need to vote your heart, and this is what you need to take into consideration. And I appreciate that. Granted, it was very slanted, obviously. However,
well, yeah, my point, and I've talked to you about this, I don't think that was necessary.
No.
I think that if you got a brain, and you're on the planet, and you live in this area, you knew pretty much the differences between the two votes. And I didn't think that was necessary.
No.
But that's just
my
opinion.
Here's the problem, though, and here's why I think that they feel it was necessary, is that unfortunately you get people who go and sit in a church, sit there every week, and they have a brain. Problem is, when it comes to what they believe, they can't tell you unless it's in terms of, well, so-and-so says da 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 da. So they can't make up their own mind for themselves. They're afraid to say, you know, I really don't think this is such a big deal. I think it's fine if they want to make this law. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to vote no.
Well.
But they don't have the guts to stand up and say, yeah, I'm going to vote how I want and I'm not agreeing with you.
Okay.
So that's why I think they felt compelled to do that. I think also in terms of trying to get more people to go out and actually vote.
Actually, I didn't agree with the email, but that's just my opinion. So. I
don't necessarily agree with it.
I don't think it should have been sent. And I'm not this big separation of church and state. I think the church does live in the state, and you have to kind of,
well,
how is that going to flesh out? But anyway, I made my statement about people with brains and all that. But
yeah.
Here, so now we have streets full of people. angry, who are in the gay community and those who agree with the gay community. And they are angry, focusing on the Mormon church, because they understood, and I hope it comes from a good place, that the Mormon church paid a lot of money to produce commercials that they feel were unfair and untrue against the voting no. Okay. So, I guess, you know, I've talked about this a number of times, and I kind of want to talk about it one more time, and then if anybody else has any other things to add, that's fine. But I just, okay, so I think the church has lived in a stained glass building for so long, and they have never taken the time to talk to people who they don't agree with. Obviously, it's never going to be a fun discussion, because there's really hard feelings about it, especially when you get people from the South with signs saying very derogatory things. But on the same token, I think that the church does need to dialogue and discuss. And I think what we're seeing is the sowing of seeds of non-communication, and it's the reaping of it is a lot of anger, and perhaps in certain instances misinterpretation and mislabeling of certain people and certain things. I'm just saying you don't have a clear view of both sides because they've never talked. You know, and you know, it could be two family members, it could be a marriage, it could be two people at work that the two people thought that the other person felt a certain way. But that's never been discussed. And so you just kind of grow up in life, you know, especially when you're talking about a group, that one person in particular is very vocal. You feel that they represent the entire group, but they don't. And so you look at that one person and say, well, the whole group must feel that way. Okay? So, because you don't discuss, that's why this happens. So, I think that it is, you have to, the church and the gay community has got to talk. They've got to.
Well, and again, more than just talking, there needs to be some agreement to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, if you don't agree on this, but can we get along anyway?
Right. And how can we get along? Think that it's kind of and it's another thought of when you believe in something, you didn't believe in it overnight. It didn't come to you like that.
Well,
and
in some cases it probably does.
Okay.
But for the most part, as a general rule of thumb, I believe that it's not.
So The thought in that is, when these types of discussions with divergent opinions happen, is both sides say, well, I made my case, so you should just agree and we'll shake hands and that's it. And that's not how it happens.
No, of course not.
It normally begins with a point of, well, what can we agree on? Well, this, okay? And the rest of it, we don't, okay. But then, maybe, as there's continued discussions, maybe there's a bit more understanding of why. Here's the thing, they don't understand each other.
No, they don't.
Because they don't want to.
They don't want to. But here's the other thing I was telling you, is that once you get to the point of agreeing to disagree,
right,
now what?
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I think, probably more than anything, scares people more than anything else. Well, now what are we talking about?
Right.
We can't argue about this. When we're arguing about this, at least we're talking. No, you're not. You're throwing hate at each other.
Well, and here, really, and here's another thing.
Once you agree to disagree on it, now what do you do?
And I just want to say this, that even from the beginning, we made this point, and I want to come back to it, is disagreeing doesn't mean hating.
Correct.
I'm going to say that one more time. Disagreeing does not mean hating at all. It means that you don't see this the same way as someone else. That's what that means. And there's nothing hateful about that. And, you know, I mean, I think life is a process. I mean, look, I love you with all my heart and soul. There's things that you do that can frustrate me, that I don't understand. I don't know why. But because I love you, I put up with it.
Right.
Now, that may be an offsetting word, but...
But not really, though,
that,
because... In all honesty, that tells me that you're willing to say, I don't agree, I don't like this, I don't like that you're doing this. It's not something I would do. I'm not going to enjoy it or participate in it with you. But, because I love you, I'm willing to deal with it,
right,
put up with it, listen to you, talk about it.
And it also doesn't mean that I validate it.
That's true.
It means I put up with it, because not agreeing but loving anyway is just saying, I am going to drive this car even though it doesn't have an 8-track player. I love 8-tracks. I got a whole bunch of them, you know, Perry Como, whoo, man, but I really love this car. But it doesn't have this thing. It has this newfangled thing called a CD player, a satellite radio. And that's what I'm saying.
I'll go one better with you. I enjoy watching certain programs on television that you do not enjoy watching.
Right.
You do not choose to watch it. You will, however, sit and watch it with me while we're getting dinner,
mm-hmm,
or because you know that once it's done over with, we're going to go do something else because you do love it.
Right.
And I will do the same with you. Because there are programs you will watch that I just couldn't care less about. But I will sit and watch them with you while we're eating dinner. Or while we're talking. Or while we're just being with each other. Just for the sake of, it's something you enjoy.
And
now, I know some Christians are going to go, oh, well, I certainly can't talk with somebody who's gay about them being gay. Okay, but seriously, is,
you know,
that all there is to that person?
And here, okay, here's what I'll say. I'm going to make an assumption. I have friends that are gay. I've, mm-hmm, known gay people. I've talked to them. I've been to dinner with them, you know,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
I feel... Now, hold on. They're human, and they have... Hold on. They have class enough,
mm-hmm,
and knowledge enough that they're not going to put somebody on the spot and talk about things that's going to make somebody else feel comfortable. The one thing I do know, but gay people, especially gay guys, they're in tune.
Yep.
They are tuned in.
Yep.
And if somebody makes somebody feel uncomfortable, they're not going to talk about it.
Oh.
And so that type of mentality of what you're talking is really shooting the Christians in the foot.
Absolutely.
Because that is a misnomer. That is not a founded thought. And so they are basically creating their own chaos because they're not willing to take that step. And
you
say,
might be surprised to know that a Christian who enjoys cooking might get along really well with a gay guy who cooks really well, or a lesbian who cooks really well. Without even, and what do you know? Sex doesn't even come into the topic of
right.
conversation because that's not part of cooking.
Right.
It? But boy, howdy, you talk to people and the way they act is like, I'm afraid if I sit down, they're going to start talking about their sex.
Right.
And that's just gross.
Here's the interesting thing. Now buckle up for this one. I think, in my opinion, that some Christians actually talk about things that offend other people.
No.
Yep, that's true.
Serious?
So, what I'm saying is sometimes when you just hang around with you and the people that agree with you, you never learn that the way you talk and the way you act is actually offensive to other people.
Here's something that's kind of starting up in my head. Well, the whole reason why they talk the way they do is, and I'm going to church out. This is my father's work.
Yeah. Right.
Really, really sparky. So, you are of the Jewish extraction. Well, no, because I'm a Christian. Oh, so you were adopted in. So before you were adopted in, what were you? You weren't a child of the king.
Right.
So what makes you think you can exclude everyone else now that you are adopted in? You were adopted. You're not even one of the chosen ones.
Yeah.
You're adopted in, which is a good portion of the keep on talking about in the Christian churches.
Right.
So you're adopted. And yet, you're going to deny somebody else the opportunity to be adopted? You were in an orphanage. You were not wanted. You were not loved. And yet, you were picked. God sought you out. He adopted you. Gave you a home. Gave you a future. Gave you a hope. And you're going to deny that to somebody else because they don't agree with you? Because they come from a different orphanage than you?
Yeah. Well, here...
Sorry.
Now, I don't know how this will play out, but... Let's really put it in full perspective. Is if you truly look at it from a real Old Testament view, the Jewish people are the only people that are God's chosen people.
Right.
So in that view, Christians and gay people are actually the same. In the original view, that we weren't included.
Right.
The gay people weren't included because they weren't Jewish. Now, if it's a Jewish gay person, that's another show, and I don't want to talk about that.
But
the fact is, if we start to look at the things that we have in common, start there. Even if it's just we're human, we breathe air. Let's just start there, you know, and then build up from there. Because the thing is... The thing I love about Jesus is he never had a list of people that he didn't want to talk to because it would be uncomfortable.
He talked to everybody. He talked to people who were outcast by everyone, I mean, if you think about it, he talked to people that no one would talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Not even the non-religious people. Nobody would talk to some of those people he talked to.
How can you, if you go into most churches, especially Assembly of God, reach the lost, shine the light, we save the lost. How can you, if all you do is send a check to a missionary, but you never reach out to those that are around you or that believe different than you? How can you literally say that?
Well, and again, it comes back to, let's see, good analogy is, it's fall. And not so much here, but in the Midwest and on the East Coast, when fall happens, you get a lot of leaves on the ground. And as a kid, one of my favorite things to do, because I did grow up in the Midwest, was to rake up the leaves in a big pile and jump onto them.
Mm-hmm.
And roll around in the leaves and have fun and play outside and, you know, catch fireflies in the summer nights. And if you're saying that's what we want to do, but you talk about doing that and never go outside the house, if all you do is sit inside the house and look out the window, how are you going to actually truly experience it?
Mm-hmm.
How are you really going to truly be able to touch leaves if you don't leave the house? Well, I just don't want to get dirty.
Right.
Getting dirty is not that big of a deal, and it's easy to wash off.
So let's say the amazing thing happened is when people listen, they go, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to relate to people that totally are different than me, and I'm going to do that, Jeff. Yes, you have really brought it up. I want to leave you with one last thing. How many friends that you have are Amway salesmen? Not many. Why? Because all they do is sell. That's all they do. And wouldn't it be nice if you knew someone who was an Amway salesman that would only bring it up when you needed something instead of all the time?
Yeah.
So I want to leave you with that, is if all you're doing is selling God instead of sharing God and being a representation, physical representation of God's love, I think you can see the difference. So, thanks for coming on the walk. We did it twice. It's wonderful.
Yeah, we did.
And we'll talk to you later. See ya. Bye.